This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas with Lizzie Cundy and Stephen Lang on FUBAR Radio.
It's Lizzie Cundy
and Stephen Lang. Welcome to Access All Areas of FUBAR Radio. You're back.
It's good to be back.
We're celebrating with Sophia Lis-Baxter.
Yeah, your favourite. I just can't get out of my head what Robbie Williams said about her head.
It's a satellite dish. Yeah,
I know. Satellite. I do love her though. I went to school with her. Went to the same school.
Did you?
Yep.
Fab.
Tiddington.
How have you been? We haven't seen you for a while.
I know, Di. Well, I did have a couple of very big charity do's that I was hosting. But it was also been a very sad week because I lost my friend.
Yeah, we'll be talking a little bit more about that later with Alex from Love Island. But yeah, Mike Thalassitis.
Yes.
Also known as Muggy Mike, but people seem to be taking against that now. Yeah. Sadly passed away last Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew him, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew Mike. We went together to the NTAs, actually. Mm-hmm. We had a great night, and we were Becky Vardy. I mean, he called me Cougar. I called him Muggy. I mean, he liked me calling him Muggy. I know there were a lot of sort of quite upset other sort of Love Island contestants saying, don't call him Muggy. And he was far from Muggy, but we had a joke, and I used to always call him it, and he
didn't mind.
He didn't mind at all, and he called me Cougar. And I,
does not wrong. Not
no.
Wrong.
And I was just so upset, because when I got the call on Saturday, I just couldn't believe it, because I'd spoken to him a week and a half before. He was doing a restaurant. I was going to help him with the launch. He was going to come to my book launch. I was like, don't make it the same day. And he was like, he had a lot of exciting things happening. Mm. I mean, there was a lot written about him, and people had said things about him. He said stories that weren't true. And that did get to him. And I kept saying, you know, read what people say about me. Just try and flick it off. But I don't think I realised how actually sad he was inside. I just feel terrible. And
you can tell you look a bit upset now.
Yeah, because actually about a week and a half ago he was like, where are you, Cougar? And I was saying, I was just actually walking into ITV, it was to do my about the book.
Oh yeah.
And he was saying, can you talk? But I was about to go on, and I said, look, I'll call you when I'm out. And you know what it's like when you're busying.
Busy,
I had
yeah.
the book coming out, and I just feel dreadful, because that was sort of our last conversation. And I mean, I was helping him with his launch of his restaurant. He had lots of good things happening, but I just feel terribly guilty. I don't think it will ever leave me that I, you know,
you can't predict
know.
These things, though. I think that's important to yeah. remember. You would not to know. I'm assuming he didn't let on to people that he knew that he was feeling as low as he did.
No, he did say to me that he was a bit low with some of the stuff that had been written about him. I think he found the split with Meghan pretty tough.
I think the saddest thing was his gran had died 2 days
yeah,
before
yeah.
he was found, right? So I think that obviously had a bit of an impact on him.
Yes, I knew he'd moved in with his nan to look after her. And then I just can't quite, I still can't believe it. I'm a bit shell-shocked, to be honest. And
yeah.
he was nothing like you imagined on Love Island. I think he had this reputation of you know, this kind of arrogant guy. And he actually was so not like that. He was genuine.
Yeah, he seemed and quite funny.
Very funny. Very funny. We had the funniest night on NTAs. That was weird. I don't know. And
I
was kind
of
looking after
together.
Him. And, well, you know, and we went on to the after party. And he was doing the walk round, you know, and I was doing the walk round looking at a few people. And we were just like, I had such a giggle. We had such a good time. So. But honestly, my thoughts and prayers, obviously, with all the family. And I'm just so pleased now that Love Island are stepping up their aftercare after this.
Yes, and we'll talk a bit more about that
with
Alex,
who's
on the
Miller.
Show later.
But yeah, sad news. And obviously,
very
we were
sad.
Very sad here at FUBA Radio.
Yeah.
But a lovely
nice
guy.
Lovely guy. That's what people will remember him
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. He was a good guy.
We have some other guests coming up
we
in
do.
Addition to Alex.
We
the
do.
Very lovely AJ Bentley, who we just met yeah. outside in our little
what a
green
little
room.
Cutie he is.
From the band, the musical The Band.
Yeah, the musical Take That.
Yes. So plenty of stuff to talk about with him. And we also have Sean from The Apprentice on the phone as well.
And we saw Alex Miller earlier.
We did. Have a little chat with him outside.
He's
didn't
looking
we?
Very fit.
He always looks fit.
But you see, last time he took his top off, you know, he has to go one further.
Take his pants off.
Well, I don't know. He took his top off last time. What's he going to do this
we'll
time?
We'll ask him if he'll do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully.
Might not be appropriate with the conversation we're going to have.
Well, possibly not, yeah. But, I mean, a lot's going on in the showbiz. I mean, I know showbiz doesn't ever sleep.
It certainly does not.
But Dan Osborne is at the minute at the tattoo parlour getting off his Michael Jackson tattoo. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Now I do. Thanks for informing me breaking news story.
It's painful. To remove a tattoo.
Well, do you know what? What do you make of all this Michael Jackson stuff? We don't have long to talk about it, but I've heard now Strictly are going to be banning his music.
So
BBC
X-Factor?
Radio 2 are going to stop playing it. X Factor. Do you think it's eventually just all going to... His music's going to die? Thriller's still on in the West End.
That needs to come off. I think it's the right decision. I watched the documentary. I was in two minds. I thought I'm going to be open-minded about this. Obviously, we know his bodyguard, Matt.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
And I know quite a few people that knew him very well. David Guest. There's lots of my friends that knew Michael very well. And all spoke wonderfully about him. So I thought, I'm going to have an open mind. But those two boys talking about it, and you could just feel it. You could see how disturbed they were. And, you know, what is a 36-year-old man doing walking around with kids, letting them stay overnight?
Yeah.
The way they're asking them.
Requesting that they stay overnight.
And saying to one of the mothers, can I have him for the year? I mean,
it's obviously a really bizarre tale.
No,
we certainly won't be playing any Michael Jackson on this show anymore, I don't think.
No, I think it's the right decision. I heard about the X Factor not, because they usually do a sort of Jacko-themed week.
Yeah.
And the X Factor, and that has been, that's all stopped. Mm-hmm. His musical has stopped, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. It's been taken over by Britney Spears, actually, musical. Okay. So that's been stopped.
So probably Dan Osborne's making the right decision having his tattoo removed then.
But it's painful, Dan. If you're listening, keep going. Don't worry. You can do
it. You'll get there eventually.
You'll get there. Though it is really painful. It's more painful to get it removed than getting the actual tattoo.
Really?
Yeah. Because my friend had her boyfriend's name on. She got halfway through and went, oh, I can't do it. Well, it looks like Annie. So it looks like a girl. And I was like, no, you've got to keep going.
You do.
You do.
Otherwise, you've just got a faded tattoo.
That's right.
Well, good luck, Dan.
Yeah.
Shall we play a little bit of music and then get our first guest, AJ Bentley, in the studio? A bit of Taylor Swift.
Oh, my fave.
I don't like your little games. Don't like your tilted stage. The role you made me play of the fool. No, I don't like you. I don't like your perfect crime. How you laugh when you lie. You said the gun was mine. Isn't cool. No, I don't like you. But I got smarter, I got harder in the nick of time. Honey, I rose up from the dead. I do it all the time. I got a list of names and yours is in red underlined. I check it once, then I check it twice. Oh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me. Ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. I don't like your kingdom keys. They once belonged to me. You asked me for a place to sleep. Locked me out and threw a feast.
What?
The world moves on another day, another drama, drama. But not for me, not for me. All I think about is karma. And then the world moves on, but one thing's for sure. Maybe I got mine, but you'll all get yours. What you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. She's dead. Ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what
what you just made me do.
You lied.
I did lie. I've done my first lie of the day.
You don't like Taylor Swift.
I don't, actually. She's quite annoying. I don't know why I said it's my fave.
Slipped out.
It did. I thought it was someone else. I thought, well, Angry Blank.
I'm quite into that song.
No, it's annoying.
It's annoying or she's annoying?
Everything about her and that track. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. We have our first guest sitting with us right now. AJ Bentley, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in.
It's good you're here. You've been on tour. It feels like for years.
It feels like years for me. Yeah, it's just, it's a bit, I don't think it's hit me yet because obviously I've been on tour for about 2 years.
Explain what you were doing.
So I was in the band Musical. So I was on BBC Let It Shine a couple of years ago,
which I went to the press launch of, and I loved it.
Oh, thank you.
No.
So I won that show alongside four other guys, and then we.
What was that like? I mean, how can you start from the beginning? Why did you enter, and how did it all come about?
I love to perform. I love to sing, dance. So I think I always wanted to go into that kind of avenue. It was Gary Barlow for me. I've always been a massive
Gary
take that
Barlow.
Fan. Gary Barlow.
Gary Barlow.
Just been a massive take that fan, being a massive Gary Barlow fan. My mum sent me the link and was like, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, what, just give it a go. And I went for it and just kept making it through the rounds, kept feeling like I loved it even more and didn't want to leave. And then, luckily went
on
to
win
it. I didn't have to, yeah. 2 years later, yeah.
How incredible.
It's been a journey.
Was that your first experience in...
I was training in contemporary dance in London for two. I was in my third year of uni. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I was about to go and do my dissertation.
Did you bend that off?
The show. So it was the case of if I hadn't have won the show, I'd have had to go back on Monday and finish my dissertation. So I got out of that. Which
the worst part of university is writing the dissertation.
Oh,
I remember.
My God.
I had the good 2 years, yeah.
Oh, how incredible. I mean, you must have thought, I'm doing good here as you kept getting through, because you beat so many other contestants, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're in a bit of a bubble when you're in it. And you think all of your competition are just way better than you are, and you don't think you have a chance. And obviously everyone from the outside saying, oh, you've got such a good chance, you're a great group, we think you can do it. And so you just got to believe it and just go with it.
I want to ask how you cope with the nerves, because a lot of people that do, and you know, have done Strictly, and my friends that have done, you know, other shows, say the nerves suddenly just can get to you. Was that
the
case?
They can. I think for my very first audition, that was the first time that I'd ever performed on a stage on my own. So that for me was the worst, as far as nerves go. I actually enjoyed the live shows. I really enjoyed it. I think the first live show was a bit nerve-wracking. From then on, I just enjoyed it. It was a weird one, but it was just, I just loved it. Mm. And I don't think I ever thought about the millions of people at home. I think I just focused on the audience.
Yeah,
And
best,
you know,
thing
obviously,
to do.
Like Gary Barlow and Danny Minogue and Amber Riley and Martin Kemp. And I think having them four look at you and judging your performance, I think that's your first and foremost worry.
Terrifying.
Before you worry about the people at home. So,
yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I think I just enjoyed it.
So, what was the show like doing it on stage?
The band,
yeah, yeah.
The musical.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been so good. I never expected to have the reaction that we got. I think, you know, obviously we're going on stage and we're singing Take That songs every night. Not in a tribute band sort of way, but in, you know, the story's the core of the musical. But it was always a worry that, you know, Take That fans maybe wouldn't have liked us singing Take That songs. So it was good for us that they were well received. It was just the reaction that we got was just amazing, and obviously we accumulated a following of supporters throughout the 2 years. Obviously thank them for, you know, returning and coming back and supporting us. So, yeah.
And that's allowed you to do your own music now.
Yeah, someone's going to buy my music, so that's good. That helps, other than my mum. So
What made you want to do that? Because it's a risky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's risky and it's different. And I think at the time, you know, you're in a musical and you're sticking to this schedule. And I just wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to have something that was out of that bubble, that was a creative away from what I was doing, my 8 shows a week. So I think it was just about having that bit of creative energy in me that just had to just burst out and just wanted to be productive.
But it's grueling at that many shows a week. That is hardcore. I mean, I did a musical, nothing like this, but it was West End. But I found it just took over my life. There was nothing else because you just get to the theatre, do the show, you'd be chatted, matinees, and it's hard.
It becomes your life, and obviously you're living out of a suitcase and you're moving around every week or two, so you never really get a base. We were in the West End for about 6 weeks, so that was the most of a base we had, I guess, for the 2 years. But it's been an amazing couple of years. And just way beyond my initial expectations from when I entered the show. So, I'm only going to look back with fond memories now.
That's good.
And Gary Barlow, you love him even more. Is there a picture on your wall?
Oh, maybe not on my wall anymore. Maybe the novelty's worn off a little bit. I don't know. No, I'm a massive Gary fan. Gary's always been supportive throughout the whole 2 years. You know, he always checks in and makes sure he didn't just, you know, have us front his show and then just let go. He's always checked up on us and made sure that we're happy, and
that's good.
And
he's
that's what you want. And they've all been the same. Mark and Howard are the same as well. So
Mark's sweet, isn't he?
Oh, they're all just great, aren't they? They're exactly as you want them to be. So that was a bonus for me.
Did they ever bring up Robbie?
Did they bring up Robbie?
Well,
or bring
did
out
they?
Robbie?
No, well, both.
He was on the show, didn't he appear on the?
He did. We had a gala night in the West End where he joined Take That and they performed The Flood.
That's it.
So he came and watched that, and he was sitting in the downstage box for the whole show.
Wow.
So obviously, David Walliams was in the audience, and Gary Barlow was in the audience, and Graham Norton, and we had all these people. I felt like I was on some sort of weird X Factory Britain's Got Talent mishmash of. People,
that's
yeah.
quite incredible, though.
Yeah, it was. That probably goes down as one of my favourite nights. I think just.
I bet.
All of the stalls were stripped out, and they were fancy tables, and they were all had their wine and their champagne, and it was just a weird, different. It wasn't.
Yeah,
it wasn't
I can
the
imagine.
Normal
yeah.
show for us.
I remember when Gary did X Factor. People were very positive about him and how he was with the people, the artists he worked with.
He's very hands on, isn't he?
Yeah. He is. Yeah. And you just have that respect for what he's done and what he's been through over the years.
Yeah.
He was the one person years ago. If I remember, I was walking down the town with my mum, and she said, "If you could have one mentor, who would it be?" I said, "It would be Gary Barlow."
And no, these
very
years, lucky.
These years later, it happened.
Yes,
it's all kind of fate, in my opinion.
He's such a great songwriter. I mean, he's so talented. He is the talent of Take That. Really, he can't dance as well.
He can't dance.
He'll admit that.
We'll let him off. Yeah.
But I got quite upset with that spat with Robbie and him.
In the day.
Yeah, it used to upset me.
They made it up, though, didn't they? They made it up. They released a single together, and then he rejoined Take That. I think they're all pals now.
It was crazy. The fans when Take That were about. Because I used to live at Chelsea Harbour, and they used to be at the hotel all the time across from me. So I used to see all the fans. There were thousands and thousands. It was like the Beatles.
And they set up a helpline or a phone line when they broke up.
It was
to look after the crying fans.
No, it's true. Yeah. I played Babe crying about 50 times. Babe, I did.
I'm back again. So what inspired you to want to make your own music?
I love songwriting. I love being creative.
Were you doing that before you did the show?
I was doing bits of writing, but Curtis, who I was in the band with, he was a songwriter first and foremost before he went on the show. So I naturally drew towards him, and we started writing together. And I wanted to do something as me, as an individual. I think I was in a boy band before that boy band.
Oh, were you?
So I felt like I'd, for a few years, yeah, so I'd been from boy band to boy band, and I felt like I was hiding behind other people, and that's what I'm actually a little bit happy about now, is that I'm going forward as me. And everything I do from now, I make the decisions and I do what I feel is right, and I don't have to compromise as much. And
that's what I felt like when I got divorced. That's me, number one. Don't have to watch any Daddy Sucks anymore.
Exactly,
it's all
that.
About me.
Well, apart from your sons, I
Well,
imagine.
Of course. Of course, my boys. But we've got your track, I think, haven't we?
Well, we've got one of the songs on the EP.
I'm
very excited Chemistry. About this. Chemistry. And what were the sort of inspiration behind this track?
I think they were all the tracks were I'd made notes of lots of things I wanted to sort of get out. This was kind of more of a generic pop driven track. I think listen and you'll probably you'll probably work out for yourself, I think.
Okay.
Let's do
it. I look forward to it. Thanks so much for coming in,
thank
AJ.
Thank you, AJ. And wish you all the best of luck. You're such
thank
a lovely guy
much.
As well.
Really
thank
nice.
You.
Yeah.
Let's play a little bit of Chemistry by AJ Bentley.
Those days we had, think of what we probably could have been. I know you said I wasn't what you wanted, but no one else is ever gonna be. If I could have
have just one more chance to make it, then I know that I'd be all you ever dreamed of, yeah. No rain, just sunshine here, yeah, you and me, energy, baby, this is where it all starts. This all began. We'd stay up late, give each other everything. We'd lay and talk of what we thought we wanted. Still even now, it's never changed for me. I realize it feels unnatural that you still think of us when the music stops. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll know there's nowhere else you'd rather be but here. So and we'll go on till you like.
Bar Radio presents
Ian Boldsworth.
We're joined now by Jamie Hensley.
My only knowledge of Union J was I thought they were a pretend band in Kick-Ass.
And this, yeah? Right, so
I didn't know it was
Kick-Ass,
real.
No, absolutely, nor did the whole world. And then our management and our label were like, oh, by the way, you're going to be in Kick-Ass. And I was like, how? How on earth are you going to fit us in? I think basically they wanted One Direction. I think One Direction got a little bit too big to do it. So they're like, right, so let's get another boy band. But wasn't really going to do anything for us, okay, to broaden our horizons. But I think we missed a trick of going over there and promoting it, being like, oh, yeah, we are a British band. But yeah, everyone just thought we were actors playing a cheesy boy band.
That's what I thought.
Every Monday.
Ian Boldsworth.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah. Katy Perry. Keep you satisfied. seconds. Run it. Every single night.
I'm the one that second change your life.
Take off.
Know what I bought, she dripping with gel in my eyes. Black. Said she want a Migo, now that ass her what's the price.
Hold on.
If she do right, told her to get whatever you like.
All set.
I grab her legs and I divide. I make her do a donut when she ride. I looking at the eyes of a dime, make you blind. Yeah. In her spine, not the most of diamond, check the climb.
Yeah. Sweet tooth,
sweet.
No tooth fairy.
No
whip cream.
Whip.
No dairy.
Real.
Got a hot light on, screaming I'm ready.
Hot.
But no horses, woo. No carriage.
Go ahead.
AJ Bentley, watch this space. I'm sending that to Niall tonight.
Well, that is a ringing endorsement if ever I've heard one.
Well, listen, I know we get a lot of people that come on, artists, that say, this is my new track, I've just written it. And I go, okay, that's okay. That's not bad.
But you did, you were dancing away to that
one. I tell you
one.
What, that was pure class.
Pure class.
Yes.
We have our next guest on the phone, Sian. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Well, I was going to say fresh out of The Apprentice, but actually it's not really fresh anymore, is it?
Not really. A couple of months.
Yeah, a couple of months.
How did you find it, Sian?
It was really difficult. Mm. It was way harder than I expected it to be.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, it was fun, obviously. And I mean, to win it.
And you won. So, yeah.
It was, yeah, I didn't do too bad, but it was it was really hard.
And what was it hard working with, alongside Sir Alan Sugar, or was it the other people or the task? What was it that was so difficult?
It was a bit of everything. I think to watch it on TV, you know, you get an hour of like a couple of days worth of tasks, let's say, and it's like, you know, you'll be getting up early, you're missing family. There's so many factors that you don't think about when you're watching it that make it really hard.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. I bet it's hard working with some of the people, because it does get quite... I mean, I know it's great TV and great for us watching, but there are some argy-bargy and spats going on, aren't there?
It's difficult because you've got such big personalities and everybody wants to kind of have their say. And I think for me, I wouldn't say I kept quiet, but I didn't want to be arguing with people. I'm quite chilled out, so
yeah.
I tried to not rise to that. But it is hard because you've got time restraints and like dealing with people that you wouldn't normally be around. It's really hard.
And obviously with the Apprentice, it's unlike any other show really, because you do actually have to have a full business plan, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it's
so you are fighting for something that's actually going to change your whole life.
Exactly. To win it is life-changing. It's not like, you know, you get a crown and you can say that you win it, you actually win an investment in a real business. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the show is filmed a little bit before it's aired, obviously. What's the stage of the investment in Lord Sugar's investment in your business now?
So, as in...
How does it work? Like, how does it work? Yeah.
So you win it, and obviously you get the investment, and you kind of work as a team with Lord Sugar and his team, and go through your business plan more detailed, and just kind of get going with it. It's
is it that simple? You just kind of get on with it.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, business plan is what you're basically saying. This is how I'm going to spend the money.
Yeah.
And then you know you kind of just crack on with it. So the last couple of months for me have been just absolutely hectic. Just kind of getting the ball rolling and growing the business. So, yeah, it's just all systems go.
So your thing is swimwear, right?
It is, yeah.
Swimwear? Did you say swimwear?
Lizzie's thing.
You know I love a bit of a bikini in Barbados.
Well, I've got one with your name on it, if you want one, Lizzie.
Really? Is it called Lizzie?
The Lizzie bikini.
I would love it one, please. I will wear it all day long.
Yes.
Even in the winter, I'll wear it. Oh, no, I do love swimwear so much. I mean, that's the trouble. I haven't got enough space for the swimwear because I just adore it. I do, everything about it. Why did you love it so much? What made you want to do swimwear?
I think, I did see a rise in kind of, you know, the pool party scene is so big now. Mm. And, you know, when you're going out and you're going away to pool parties, your swimwear is like your dress that you buy on a night out. It's really important.
True. It's very true.
And I know back when I was looking for swimwear, like high street times, it was so difficult to find stuff that was different, that was a bit, you know. And it was really difficult. So I kind of thought, okay, there's a bit of a niche there. Let me see what I can do with it. And then here I am.
Well, you're a girl after my own heart, because I always say I don't want the average swimsuit. I want something a bit different. And I try and get something a little different, and everyone goes, wow, that, you know, you don't be the same on the beach.
I see you on the beach every Christmas in a lot of cutouts, Lizzie.
Yeah, I love a cutout. And I do love
plenty of cutouts.
I love a cutout, and I do love a little, you know, with the ties going around the middle, you know, if you have a crisscross tie or, you know, something a bit different. And people say, don't you worry about the tanning marks? I'm like, it's all about the bikini. Don't worry about the tan.
Exactly. No one cares about the tan. It's about how good you look, especially when you're at like a pool party or somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, most people don't want to tan naturally anymore, right? It's not good for your skin.
I guess you could say that way, yeah.
I am a big fan of... I'm pale and interesting, me.
You are an English rose. And you're rather hairy as well. So that's a good sun factor. Isn't that a good block?
You'd think, but no, absolutely not. I'd get burnt. I'm like an Irish, you know, waif. I just burn in the sun. I can't go out in it.
Oh, bless you. It's a disaster. Well, you see, I used to love the sun. I mean, I used to go for it. And now, obviously, I just do the old spray tan.
Do you slap on the factor 50?
Yeah, I wouldn't say 50. I do a 30.
Do you?
Bruno Tonioli was doing coconut oil.
Really?
You were savage.
He's so
tan.
Old school Italian, isn't
savage.
He?
but this is fantastic. I can't wait to see your swimwear, and I will definitely be purchasing a few garms.
Where can we find them?
So online at sharmarie.com, but I actually have a pop-up shop in Leeds next weekend. I don't know if you want to come to Leeds. But yeah, we're doing a little pop-up in the Trinity Centre in Leeds, cool. Which should be fab.
Well, oh, fantastic. Great. And listen, huge congratulations on your success. And I know it's a tough show to do, but you shone through. The cream rises to the top.
It does.
Thank you very much.
And I look forward to receiving some of your bikinis. No, I'll go on and purchase them. I really do like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, they do look good.
No, they look fabulous.
I can see you in them, Cundy.
Yeah, I can.
Sean, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Sean. Congratulations. What a nice girl.
Lovely girl.
Yeah, I like her. So, well, look, we've got Alex Miller still to come. I'm really looking forward to talking to him.
Yes.
One of our faves.
Should we play a little bit of Bananarama first?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they've got their new album.
This is an old one.
Oh.
But we should try and get them on, actually. You're friends with Karen, aren't you?
I'm very... Well, both of them, and Sarah.
Oh, and Sarah.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Let's play a little bit of Bananarama and then we'll get Alex in.
Let's do it.
See, ooh, a walking.
third Bananarama. That's what I am.
You were the third. What was member. The one that left? Sean. No. Can't remember.
Siobhan.
Siobhan, that was it.
Come on.
Sorry.
No, you Bananaramas.
Oh, no, I really should.
Oh, well, I'm a make a Dramarama out of this.
Well done.
Thank you.
We have our final guest.
Yeah, we do.
In the studio right now, the very lovely Alex Miller.
How are you doing?
You're not topless like the last time.
I'm not. We're not with an embarrassing t-shirt either.
Yeah, what was the t-shirt before?
Megan mugged me off.
Oh yeah, Megan did.
Very well presented.
What are you thinking of Megan?
And it
Megan?
Was a bit too tight.
I don't mind a tight t-shirt.
Can I ask you, what do you think of Megan with the recent, split with Wes and all of that? Was she trying to get publicity and? Is she trying to milk Dancing on Ice when it's his show? And what do you think?
I've got no real feelings towards Megan anymore, if I'm honest. I don't really care what she's up to. Like, I want to see her do well and get success out of whatever she does, but I don't think she's milking anything.
I'm doing that because I can't concentrate. No, I'm only joking.
For anyone that didn't know, Lizzie just tried to close Alex's legs. And I can't see what's going on
didn't
down there.
At
so.
All. Yeah, but how do you think Wes did on Dancing on Ice?
Wes did really well. I actually went down there to see a live show. He did really, really well, didn't he? I thought he was going to win it. I think he got robbed.
I thought he was going to win it as well.
I know. Obviously, James Jordan's my buddy, so I've got to support James. But I thought Wes did very well, and Jason Gardner really liked Wes.
Yeah, no, he was a good skater, wasn't he?
It's funny how no one thought Sarah was going to win.
I love Sarah.
I really like Sarah. I actually do really like her, but she's can be a bit of a cold fish.
Oh, I like her.
Cold fish on ice.
But can I say, yeah, I did actually spot you in the audience.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Always on the lookout, aren't you, Lizzie?
I did, of course. I'm not going to miss Alex.
What was I wearing?
I think you had a white top on.
No, you're wrong. You're
someone else.
You're making it up.
Someone else in the beard and glasses.
It wasn't. I can't remember what you were wearing. I can't remember what I was wearing the other day. So you weren't upset you didn't see Megan that day you were there on the...
No, she was actually the week before. That's when all the stories broke out, so I don't think she turned up the week after.
Because you're looking rather moody, wasn't she, at the camera? Like, she was a bit gel. I mean, of his dark ice skating partner, who
was
incredible.
You can't smile all the time, can you?
That's true.
It's a long old show. You sit in that studio for about 4 hours.
Oh, please, go to Strictly. That
is
nothing.
Strictly is 5 hours and you get one loo break.
That's not ideal.
No, it's not
ideal.
It's not good.
Alex, what have you been up to since we last saw you?
That was a while ago.
It was, yeah. Fresh out of the show.
Yeah, it was fresh out of the show. It's all gone back to normal. Gone back to my normal day job. Normal sort of routine, got back into it, sort of the fame of Love Island is sort of...
People still asking for selfies?
Every now and then, yeah. Every now and then
Hold on,
you get
I did one. I asked you for one downstairs in the pub before we came up. You're still a wanted man, you see? Oh. But look, we've got to talk about it. The terrible, tragic news of Mike. Obviously, you knew from Love Island as well.
Yeah.
I mean, what were your thoughts? Did you know that he was so depressed? Were you friends?
We weren't exactly friends. I mean, we sort of done a few events together in the summer. And he's, first of all, he's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Not the guy everyone thinks he is. And it was a massive, massive shock to see someone that comes across so confident and so sort of happy with himself to end up the way he has is tragic, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. Absolutely tragic.
Really sad.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it? And do you agree with a lot of the former contestants have come out saying that the aftercare of Love Island is just non-existent, zero, and that was part of why they think they've kind of failed Mike?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of contestants. I don't remember how many contestants over the four series there's been. There must be into the hundreds, right? Mm. Must be getting close.
Yeah, close at least, yeah.
But to keep an eye on everyone is... impossible from the producer's point of view. Granted, there should be a system where you should be systematically seen by whoever, be a psychiatrist, to sort of check up every once, 2-3 months, make sure how you're doing. It's got to be down. Everyone's got management when they come out. It's got to be down to the management to put into something. You need to see someone this often, this often, this often. It's not the producer's fault. The show as a whole probably could do a little bit more and could sort of get that systematic routine in with a psychiatrist, but you can't sit there and blame the producers. That's unfair on them.
I mean, did you get a call after the show? Because you kind of had a bit of a sudden exit, didn't you, from it? I mean, did they call you and see how you were?
I mean, yes, sort of straight after the show, you were seen, you were spoken to a fair bit, and then it sort of died off. I actually had a little rant on Insta that I hadn't been seen, I hadn't been spoken to. I went for a bit of a dark patch, and I had the little rant, and luckily one of the producers actually follows me on Instagram, saw the rant, got in touch with me, then put me back in touch with a psychiatrist, which is good. Like, all I needed to do, looking back, was
say it or ask it for it, yeah.
Go and talk, go
but
and talk
it's so
to him.
Very difficult, I mean, because there's a great... I mean, now the Sun are doing this Let's Talk, which is the whole thing. But if you're in a very dark place, you kind of feel you don't want to burden anyone, don't you? And feel, I can't talk. Who can I talk to?
Yeah, that is a situation. And that is a situation that I was in, going, I didn't want to talk to anyone about it. But having sort of ranted, you know, it was like a fan's question. I answered a fan's question and sort of ranted, and that's where they picked it up from. But having spoken to the psychiatrist, the Love Island psychiatrist, like, they got me through, had a chat with them, sorted stuff out and sort of got a plan sort of how I could take my life forward, and now we're here, we're all good, all
you
happy.
Feel good, you feel alright,
yeah. Very happy, yeah things are falling into place,
but thankfully you did, you know, actually do that little rant on Instagram, and thankfully they picked up on it, because I do think a lot have been ignored and not looked after. But
that's where you need to be up front, and you need to go and talk to someone. They can't be proactive all the time and keep chasing you, because there's so many contestants, it's impossible for them to do.
And also, like, when does it cut off? Do you stop after 1 year, after 10 years? Like, you can't, how long can the show be held responsible for what happened?
But get a systematic, you know, review in once every 3 months, then it could drop to once every 6 months, once a year.
Yeah.
Because is it hard, Alex? You're kind of thrown in the deep end, really. You're suddenly famous, you come out of that show, everyone's stopping you in the supermarket, as we said, selfies, you know, wherever you go, and then suddenly it can go really quiet, and is that hard, that from having it all and then suddenly the phone not ringing or it changing?
I mean, that's going to depend on everyone's ambition to be famous, I would expect. Like, I never went in there with I want to be famous. That wasn't my goal. So it didn't really hit me as much as I'm assuming it could hit other people. So when you sort of, you come out and you have that little bit of fame, you have your 15 minutes and then it drops off again. Like, it's going to be harder for some people than others. But I never went in there with the intention on being famous.
Mm.
And also, you did have a career beforehand, right? And you were doing bits and bobs before.
Yeah, so it was easy to drop back into.
It does seem to me to be a little bit like Mike was a little bit aimless. He didn't really know... He was kind of setting this place up.
Mm.
It was still...
He was getting a restaurant set up.
But it was like, it was all taking time, wasn't it? And I think maybe there's been talk about how he had bad debts in addition to everything else. If that's playing on your mind, you're not sure where your next paycheck's going to come from. For some people, that would be really difficult.
Scary,
wouldn't it?
Yeah. But also the trolls and stuff you get on, like, Twitter and abuse. Have you had much... Because that's quite hard to deal with. I think there should be a bit of training on the social media front.
Yeah, I think they've come out and said there's going to be a lot more training on social media. I mean, everyone deals with trolls differently. When I read all the comments and see them come through, I can laugh them all off and just go, you don't know what's going on. But some people sort of take it to heart a bit more than others. So a bit more... training, a bit more awareness that this is what's going to happen, you know, as soon as you come out. It just needs to be put in place and needs to be a bit more structured from the show's point of view.
But you've actually, because you look very happy, don't you? You look great. Things are going well.
Yeah, I'm all right.
What's going on with the love life?
There isn't a lady on the scene at the minute, but I'm sort of dating someone. It's very, very early, but she's a nice girl.
So
I thought you were about to come out then. You were like, I'm not seeing a lady. This has taken an unexpected twist.
Early days. Is she in the business or is she...
No, she's very, very down to earth. An absolute 10-10. But yeah, she's very down to earth, very, very nice girl.
Do you ever worry, like, people are like, oh, they know me from Love Island and what happened on that, or do you just kind of get over it? I don't know, you have to, I imagine.
Yeah, do you know what, she obviously knew me from that, because she's not from where I live. She lives a little bit lives up north a little bit, so she knew me from the show, and I actually met her at an event I'd done up in Sheffield.
Oh, she's northern.
She's a northern lad.
Aye, aye. Oh, no.
What the hell is that?
What is that?
Were you Lorraine Kelly?
Pirate? Hey, the new.
Not that north.
She's not that north. Birmingham.
Yeah, okay. She's a nice girl.
Oh, nice girl. Okay. Oh, so early days. You've got a little glint in your eye.
Yeah,
so have you, Lizzie? Sophie, you've got a little glint in your eye.
Alex is sitting next to me in his very tight tracksuit.
It is quite tight, to be fair.
It is rather tight. So this is all good. Everything's going well, Alex. I'm really pleased. I mean, would you advise people to go on this show on Love Island? What are your thoughts now when you look back? Do you think this was really good for me? Would you say to people, yeah, go for it, go on it? Or would you say, be careful?
I mean, you've got to be careful with what your ambitions are, I think. Mm. When essentially looking back, I can look back now and sort of take a view on it. I had nothing to lose. Mm. I'd spoken to my job. They said I can come back whenever. Mm. So I knew I had something to go back to. So I wasn't going to go into anything knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You need to assess sort of your situation before you apply. But, you know, what's the harm in applying? You can apply. If you get it, you then take another view on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say don't apply.
Like, how long were you in the show for?
There's going to be a little dig coming here.
I can't. Was it a week?
Yeah, it was a week.
How long he was. You said the other day. You said to me he's only been in like a few days.
I didn't say that. No, but do you think that makes a difference? Yeah, well, you did. But do you think that makes a difference? Because if you're in there from beginning to end, you're unaware of what's going on in the outside world. That can maybe affect the way that you.
I think if you're in there from the start, if you're a regular, you're in there from the start, you'll do well, whatever. You've seen a couple of people that went out after 4 days.
Mm.
They're doing nothing but their famous stuff, in quotations.
Instagram.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, Insta famous. But yeah, some of them are only in there sort of 4 or 5 days, but they're so massive. But if you come in sort of halfway through and in there for a week, you're forgotten. You're not one of the regulars. Yeah. So it depends what stage of the show you go in at.
Mm.
And before you went in, did they say what you want? Why did you go into the show? You said you didn't want fame, so why did you go into Love Island?
I wasn't about the fame. I wanted to go in for the experience, and if I found someone that I actually liked, then brilliant, happy. But you know,
wasn't
did
Megan,
you find? Did you
Megan
find it?
Me off.
she did.
Actually, Megan did. She did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, cheers,
sorry.
That's something that got the T-shirt made.
I know.
Did you find it did have any effect on your mental health? Do you think doing the show?
Not at the time, when it all sort of crashed and I wasn't the person I was when I came out, and sort of a few months down the line, I did find myself sort of driving to work and I was in a bit of a dark place. Sort of, it was, you know, it was winter time, there's a lot of factors coming up, like everyone's a bit depressed around winter, sort of knowing that everything had come to an end, like back into the routine of like the old job. And I did go through a bit of a dark patch where I was just sort of looking at bridges going, yeah, I could drive into that.
Oh,
really?
And that's when I put the rant out, and the psychiatrist came back and we put a little bit of a structure back in. And
see, Alex, that makes me really sad.
I know. Even if
but do you think that was a direct effect of the show? Of doing the
it
show?
It was going back into the reality bit of this is what I'm back into now. Like, everything's died a death. You've fallen off the cliff of reality fame. It's not all it's cracked up to be, but you need to talk to someone about it. And I got a structure back in my life, and it sort of turned it around.
And I think that's really a brave thing to say, because actually that's made me really sad to think you come out of that show, which so many people want to go on. There's so many people applying now to go on to this show. And
it should be fun.
Yeah, you come out of it and you think, what was that all about, in a way? Wow, yeah, but, you know, as you say, talk. It's so important to talk. And if anyone listening is feeling depressed, you know, the Samaritans, and there's many helplines now, thankfully. But Alex, so it isn't really all that.
But talking to someone got me through it, which is the main thing. But that's the big leap you need to take.
And it's hard because that's reality TV. But you come out and then you've got real life. You've got the everyday life, paying the bills and doing all what you've got to do to survive. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough one. But I think that's really good. And I think you've probably helped lots of people, Alex, actually.
Thanks for being so honest, Alex. I appreciate it.
And I can't wait to go training with you.
Let's sort it out.
I'm on a fitness. Look, see, I'm not even drinking.
It's a little lime and soda today, Lizzie.
It is impressive.
Well, Lizzie, until next week, it's been a very good show today.
It's been an amazing show, as always. Thank you, Alex. Lovely to see you.
Thank you, one
of our favourites on FUBA. And look forward to next week.
Yeah. Let's play a bit of Billy Ocean.
Oh, my favourite.
Everyone's your favourite, Lizzie.
I'm telling you to breathe full time. Yeah.
Till next week.
Bye, everyone.
By me in painted on jeans. You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.